You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
What's up, friends? It's Adam. This is The Conversation. Needless to say, I'm excited that you're tuning in, excited to spend the time with you, excited that you are alive today. I am grateful for you. Well, hey, on today's episode, I was able to connect in person, in studio, with my friend Lisa Whittle. If you don't know Lisa, she is a pastor, she is an author, she's a podcaster. Her podcast is called Jesus Over Everything. She's the founder of a ministry called Ministry Strong, and Lisa is someone that I look up to in so many different ways. She is just a solid leader, a solid woman of God, and been a voice that I look to in so many different situations. Her newest book, though, which is what we're going to talk about in this upcoming conversation, is called The Hard Good: Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. I think all of us have been at that place of wanting to shut down. And so, gosh, I cannot wait for you to hear our conversation. We did have a lot of live audience, which you may hear in the background from time to time. But as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Lisa Whittle, I can't believe I'm in the same room with you right now. Huge honor. Welcome to the conversation today. Just thrilled that you're here.
Thanks, Adam. It's so fun to be in the same room.
Well, I'm excited to jump in. Your latest book, The Hard Good, where did this book come from? What is your main hope and takeaway from the book as a whole?
Gosh, the book came from my father died in 2017, and I had this extraordinarily close relationship with him. He was a pastor, and like a lot of our parents, I think he was complex, but I was really in tune with him, I guess because we were close and also had similar personalities, similar giftings. And so I just knew this extremely gifted person who was called by God, used by God, but also wrestled. And when he died, it was like God was saying to me, Lisa, what are you going to do with all you know? And I knew what God meant by that, you know, having that front row seat. And I also knew, Adam, from my own life, my history of wanting to run away from hard things, which was also sort of the MO of my father, who would move us around a lot. And every time he would say, you know, like, God is calling us away, maybe he was, you know, but I think, like, intuitively, even as a young girl, I sensed that he was running from something a zip code couldn't fix, running from himself. It came from that sort of thing, but it also came from honestly sitting with God in 1 Samuel 9 and studying King Saul, of all things, who had some similar deals, right? Yeah. So it was that. What's my takeaway? What's my hope? Oh my gosh, so much that people will know that God can do something with this mess of your life, of what's going on. That it doesn't end with hard, that if you know Jesus, that it does end good and that you'll be okay.
Yeah, no, gosh. I don't even know where to start with questions. Maybe the first is just the idea of good.
Yeah.
I think we have a concept of what good is, and the world has a concept of what good is. What's a healthy understanding of good? Start there.
Yeah, that's actually really crucial, because what's happened is because culture has sort of stepped in and said, hey, here's what good is. We've bought into this idea of good life. And that's been detrimental to us, because if we believe what culture has said, then the good life that someone else has typically looks better than ours. And we think, I've done something wrong. I've missed the instructions. We spend this life in sort of this comparison trap. And we feel like God doesn't care, isn't listening, hasn't blessed us. What, you know, pick one, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually good is crucial. And I knew I had to address that early. So I addressed it in the intro because we've got to know what we're going for here. What is good? Because if you don't know what God, what good is, then you don't know why hard matters. And so what are some things that good is? Well, I base everything on the Bible, of course. God is good. And when I say that, I don't mean that as a bumper sticker. I mean that as, Adam, it is in his very nature. Like, you cannot separate God from goodness. It is who he is. So anything in this life that takes you to the sustenance of what's good for you is good for you. Because that's going to be your hope. That's going to be your strength. Also, growth is good because what happens when you grow is it develops in you sort of this spiritual confidence to endure whatever else is next that we don't know. And we don't know. I will say that spiritual transformation is good. It's good because it changes you. And it also gets people to notice something different about you that draws them to Jesus.
In the book, you lay out these different kinds of hard that we experience in life. I got a list of them here. Accepting things we wish were different, making peace with loss, facing tough conversations. Honestly, one of the things that stuck out to me was cheering for someone who gets something we want.
Yeah.
Are you willing to tell us about maybe that chapter in specific, something hard and what good came from that specifically? For me, when I looked at the different chapters, by far, that's the one that leaped off the page and hit me in the face.
Yeah. And I think you're such a good cheerleader of people. So it's funny that people don't realize, like, you know, even what someone who's good at cheering, it's still struggle for everyone, right? Men, women, doesn't matter. You know, it's tough. Yeah, I have a story for you, and it's easy for me to think about. I wrote about it in the book. I was actually speaking with someone, and I didn't know her, but I kind of checked her out beforehand because I wanted to know who I was speaking with, and so I could see by what I checked out that she was going to be amazing. And the minute we got in the room together, I could feel the charisma coming off of her. And the first thing I thought, Adam, I have to admit, was not spiritual. I thought, I don't like her. Because you know why? I felt jealousy coming up inside my bones. Because I knew that she was going to be really, really good. And I wanted to be good. And that was natural. You know, that's hard for me to tell.
Yeah.
Who wants to tell on themselves? But that's real. And a lot of people have thought that. And a lot of women in particular, I'm going to be really honest with you, they will immediately assess that they don't like a woman. And it's not that they don't like her. It's that they're jealous of her. And I thought it was important for me to admit that and to acknowledge that. And here's what God said to me in that moment. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't want to do it. He said, I want you to go over to her and I want you to pray for her. And I want you to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will come over her and she will preach like never before. There was no part of me, Adam, that wanted to do that. Because I thought, oh, I know what happens when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on someone. She's going to blow the roof off this place. And I've got to follow that. And before I knew it, my legs were walking over to this woman who, by the way, wanted nothing to do with me. Like, she didn't care about me at all. And that was, it was very off-putting. Like, she wasn't, you know, warm or anything. I had every reason to say, you know, I might not like her, whatever, right?
Yeah.
If I wanted to justify. And I went over to her and I put my hand on her shoulder and I prayed. I prayed over her so heavy. And she did preach awesome. And you know what happened? We became friends. And we're really good friends. And God broke something off of me that day. And he said, this is how you combat jealousy in your life. You take the beast on. You don't wait 1 second. You go over and you bless them. You show wild generosity. So I very much understand this chapter because I've had to practice this chapter in my own life.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm actually preaching this coming Sunday about if someone strikes your right cheek, turn the other cheek as well. And in one of the commentaries I read, it says the follower of Jesus goes further. The follower of Christ does more. And that's in one of those moments of like, no, instead of doing what I want to do and what my flesh is screaming and telling me to do, God, I'm going to go against that and I'm going to combat this head on. What do hard things, and you can take this anywhere you want, what do hard things teach us about God?
You know, I was listening to a song recently. The line was, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I think that I have developed trust that he wouldn't leave me. And for me, with a history of broken promises by people, and a natural personality that doesn't trust easily and doesn't give my heart away easily, I've needed proof. God doesn't have to do that, but he's really kind. And so as hard things have gone on in my life and I have watched him not walk away from me, but be worthy of the trust that I put in him, to handle my heart when someone else has mishandled it, to be as strong as he says he is, to be enough, all of those things. Adam, it's developed in me greater trust. I believe more in Jesus now than I ever have. I am less sure of me. I am less sure of being an expert about anything. But I am more sure about Jesus than I've ever been in my life.
I was just thinking about it when I heard about the title of your book. I just thought about the people who I want to follow have been through the hard. And I look back at some of the hard, just even in the last few years, and I still can't get to the place where I'm saying that I'm glad it took place.
Right.
But I can see so much good that has come from that. It's in ways that it's almost hard to explain. For the person who's in that hard place right now, what would you say to that brother or sister who's listening and is just like, that's where I'm at right now. What do I do? I don't know. You know, I can remember in my heart, it felt like I couldn't breathe.
I would say that's real, and I would say that's honest, and I think it's important to acknowledge that. You know, the older I get, the more my prayers are less chatty. You can understand that. You wrote sort of a book about that. But, you know, honestly, showing up for me is committing to just sitting and opening my hands and saying, I'm here. God, I'm here. I don't know what you can do with this. There's a lot of feelings in here and there's a lot going on. You know, none of it's a surprise, obviously, to God. But I'm here. And that is shockingly enough for God to work with, to create movement in your life, to mend, to heal. It's just an excellent starting point. And I think a lot of us think in these lofty goals and we go way down the road of like, I've got to do all of this because we're just so systematic and perfectionistic with ourselves. And that is not God's idea. He doesn't need that from us because he's perfect and he's got the way to fix us. And so I think it just goes a long way.
And one of the things I was so grateful that you talked about in the book is our emotions. And we either let them, our emotions boss us around, or we try to deny that we have any emotions whatsoever.
Right.
Even for me, in the midst of hard seasons is where I've learned like how important it is to process our emotions. What's a healthy way of keeping our emotions in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it is sort of crazy if you think about it, because in order to stay sensitive to the world's needs and our own needs, right, we have to be in touch with our emotions. It's gotten us in a lot of trouble in the faith community, honestly, Adam, by dismissing emotions because it's created a secrecy culture. It's created a sinful culture. You know, secrets live in the dark. And there's just been a lot of problems with it. There's also been the problem then when culture has stepped in and said, okay, well, if you're not going to honor feelings, we'll just take it from here and we'll just have feelings go ahead and just drive everything, which also isn't healthy either, because then it's created for us wild complication. You know, the best way for us to have these feelings, and then also the practicality of wisdom, because if you think about it, the Bible's full of both. I mean, if you think God's not practical, read the book of Proverbs, right? But if you think that it's not about emotion and feeling either, then that completely doesn't make sense, because God created us with facets. He names the facets in the Bible. The best way to do this is to bring those emotions under the control of the Holy Spirit and be led that way, so that our feelings operate in the way they're supposed to and not be asked to be a boss. So they're a great informant, they're a great consultant, but they're not our boss, and they function in the way they're supposed to function. And that's when they're powerful, which makes sense, because that's the way God created them to be, right?
Yeah. No, and what an important thing to hear, and again, to process our emotions in a healthy, God-honoring, God-fearing way, I think is so critically important. Lisa, I want to shift away from the book. I know you have a huge heart for folks in ministry. You founded a ministry called Ministry Strong. For that person listening who is in ministry, your word of encouragement to that person listening.
Oh my gosh, my heart is so tender to ministry folks in particular. And of course, we all serve Jesus, we're followers of Jesus, but people that are serving in a ministry capacity, it is such a heavy season. You need to know you're not alone. You need to know this is the sentiment of literally everyone in ministry I talk to. I know that that doesn't necessarily help your day in and day out to know there's hundreds of thousands of potentially millions, right? But you do need to know that there is a tone that is against what you're trying to do. And it's going to take everything you've got. And that means that at the end of the day, that's not going to require trying harder. That's going to require your soul to be well. And so if I could talk to ministry folks, I would say your soul needs more attention right now than it ever has needed before. Your soul must be well, or you can't do this. And when I say that, Adam, I don't just mean like, pay attention to what you've needed to pay attention to for 6 years. Because let me tell you something, the pandemic has revealed things about us, but many, many things have been going on for many, many years. It's not like, oh, all of a sudden I just have all this stuff. No, this is stuff probably from 15 years ago. You're just now, it's coming out. So deal with it finally. Use this, look at this as an incredible opportunity to get well. And to get healed, because the great healer can do it right now. He could do it. You could stop this podcast, get on your knees, and you and God could do business, and you could get well. Like, that is the life change of Jesus Christ. So that, I'm going to challenge you with something that's going to sound off the wall, but I mean it. You need to find joy in what you're doing. You need to have some fun. And I don't know what that looks like, because I know that seems like the most ridiculous thing in the world when you're like, well, the world's on fire, Lisa. Thanks for that tidbit. But let me tell you something. I've been married for 26 years, and someone said, like, what's some marital advice? I said, you need to completely be ridiculous together and be silly and have fun. I believe in communication. I believe in all that stuff. But my husband and I sometimes just are silly together, because when you lose like fun, I mean, think about Jesus with children and the joy and the laughter and the fun. We don't have fun in ministry at all right now. Yeah. It's not fun. And I know, listen, you can't find a bigger pragmatist than me. We live in a real world. We got real problems. There are budget concerns. You got complainers. the world is a disaster. I get it. But we know the end of the story. He overcomes the world. And I think some of us need to get off our phones, stop scrolling, get on our knees with God, do business, do the work you need to do for your soul, get well, and go have some fun.
There you go. One of the things I've always valued about you, just say it. Like, a question that I want to ask, and I know there's a personal aspect to this too. Anytime that I see a pastor or moral failure, one of the voices I always look to is yours. It always makes me heart sick when I see pastors and followers of Christ celebrating the downfall of any pastor or author or Christian musician. It's almost like this is you're shooting your own teammates. Like, what are you doing? Like, and yet you've been through it on a personal level with your father. A word for all of us as followers of Christ, what to do in those moments. What would you, as a family member who's been through something like that, what would you want us to hear? What's the proper way to respond? Like, what should we feel when we see someone we look up to or we've read their books?
It's wildly disappointing, and that's a human emotion, and I get it. I was disappointed by my father. I was disappointed by church people. You know, that's a human emotion, and I think that's something that needs processing and often in a counselor's office. I also will tell you that it is possible to open your heart back up again and believe again in the church, in a leader, in leadership, because we are all human and capable of falls. And I think when we get to the point that we have like this us and them mentality, it's dangerous, Adam, because there but the grace of God go I. And I always, always, always remember that. I am one step away myself, and that has me in a very precarious position all the time. And so I'm wildly dependent upon God for that reason. I would say that what is a story to someone else is someone else's real life. And when you are taking in and consuming information about someone that you don't know, more than likely there are children attached, there's a family attached, and I can tell you that in their home, there are tears, there is pain, there is sorrow, there is brokenness, and you might not think that leader is worthy of your grace or your forgiveness or even your understanding, but that's not how God sees it. And so I believe in accountability, and I believe we can hold people accountable, and we can also have tenderness for what's happening behind the scenes because we don't know.
Thank you for all that. One of the things I've been challenging myself to do is if there's any ability for me to do so, to try to get close to that person who's in the middle of heartache. Even in this past month, there was someone who was all over the news. I'd never known the individual in my life, but I just felt like I was supposed to reach out. So sent a devotional, emotional, healthy spirituality. Mm-hmm. And we sent a note and just basically just said, hey, I don't know you personally. This devotional is what brought me through the worst season of my life. I want you to know that God sees you. He cares about you. And, you know, I'm not signing off on anything that individual did. I'm not saying their choices and decisions were fine and okay with God at all. But I'm like, gosh, I hope at the end of my life, if I'm guilty of anything, it's getting close to the person that everyone else is running away from. I want to be the person that's running in the opposite direction. Lisa, last question I have. There's so much bad news right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I going to be upset about or depressed about tomorrow? I'm not sure. Like, yeah. Like, I guess I'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you excited about?
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to spread the greatest news that there is about what's coming next, because there's opportunity now, there's hunger now, where people were closed and people weren't listening. I see openness. I mean, you know, Adam, I'm not young. I've been preaching for a while. You know this. And the same way that I preach now. And 10, 15 years ago, it was a little too hard for some people. But now, people just want to know, and they don't want to waste time, and they're ready to hear it. And so that gives everyone opportunity where we haven't had it before. Because here's what's happening. People all around us are desperate for hope. They're desperate for an answer. They're desperate to know that their life matters. And they're desperate to know that there's something beyond this. Because they're catching on to the fact that if this is all it is, it's not that great. And we have opportunity. And that's what we're here for. So this is our moment. This is the moment for believers. And we can think about ourselves and we can think about how hard our life is. And listen, I'm not diminishing it because it's hard. I could name 5 hard things right now that are going on in my life that nobody knows, that aren't on social media, that nobody would have any idea. We could all do that. But we're not here for us. And I think sometimes in our own life, it's hard for us to remember that. So we have great opportunity to spread the gospel.
Yeah, no, I've been feeling the same thing in my own soul, even in different friendships and relationships that I feel like have been kind of closed doors to talking about Jesus. Even this last week, there was someone who in a conversation flung the doors wide open. And I'm like, that's a change right there.
Yeah.
And so in the midst of, you know, even whether it's pastors, like we're not seeing as many people on a Sunday, which is discouraging. I know for so many pastors and all this and all of that, like there is so much opportunity. And if we just begin to fix our eyes on the unseen, which is eternal, for me, I'm like, instead of looking at the next news cycle, it's like, God, would you just help me to keep my eyes on you? Because there is so much good in my life. There's so much good that you've showered my life with. And so God, help me to focus on that. Lisa, I'm so grateful for our time. Again, your newest book, The Hard Good. We'll have a link in the show notes to this book. Go get yourself a copy. Go get a friend, a girlfriend, whoever it is, go get them a copy of the book. Lisa, I feel like I can't thank you enough. Just genuinely grateful that we could connect today. And thank you for putting your words on paper.
Thank you.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.